On this episode of the Vegan Chub Club podcast, things get pesky. P-E-S-C-K-Y. We speak with Ryan Gill, owner and head chef of Pesky Kitchen, a 100% plant-based chicken pop-up in Denver, Colorado. Tune in to how an Arkansas girl went from the Navy to running an up-and-coming, thriving vegan business in a city known for lifting up entrepreneurs. Love the Vegan Chub Club and want to see us grow? Share us with your chubby vegan friends. Subscribe to us on Apple or Spotify, and be sure to leave us a review. Let's get pesky. Hi, Ryan. I'm so excited to have you here with us today.
Hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's a little warm for me today in Denver, and you're in Denver too.
Yeah, yesterday was really kind of cold.
My kind of weather. I don't know. I liked it. We had the windows open and like let the breeze in.
Yeah, we did too. We had the back door open and yeah, I loved it.
So Ryan, you are the owner and the head chef of Pesky Kitchen. You are vegan. Your chicken is vegan. Can we start out with your vegan story, like where you're from and how you got to Denver?
So originally, going all the way back to childhood, I am from Arkansas. And then upon graduation from high school, I immediately went into the Navy. So I traveled a bit, then ended up in Georgia. So that's actually where I came from, was Georgia to Colorado. But as far as my vegan journey, it started, I would say, in high school. I didn't completely go vegan, but I stopped eating certain meats. I stopped eating pork. I stopped eating beef. I still continued to eat seafood and chicken until a few years back when I was finishing up culinary school. And I really started learning some of the facts about chickens and the numbers behind it as far as like statistics go. Like every year there's billions, not millions, but billions of chickens being eaten along with billions of eggs. And I just, in my mind, I can't think of how you can have all these chickens still eat the same amount next year and still have like eggs. It doesn't make sense to me. So I was like, enough chicken. I'm done with that. I also learned facts about seafood and like fish farms and how tilapia really isn't a real fish, little things like that. And I just was like, I couldn't do it anymore. And I also have a skin condition, and dairy was making it worse. So cutting dairy out alone significantly improved my health. So I just combined everything together and just cut all animal products out.
Yeah, I know that's common for a lot of people, especially with dairy and skin sensitivities or different kinds of irritations like acne or preconditions like rosacea and things like that. It irritates it, it inflames it, and it just flares everything up. So yeah, I'm sure you did notice a big difference cutting out dairy. Like, I know I did too.
My ER visits went down significantly after cutting down dairy.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, cool. So you were in Georgia, and what brought you to Denver?
Well, like I mentioned, my skin condition and medical marijuana, because I'm, like I said, I'm also a veteran, and they have no problems giving me loads of opioids and antibiotics and things like that, which now I'm actually experiencing significant side effects from these medications that I was on for years. But moving here gave me access to medical marijuana, even for my PTSD that I'm rated for. I'd rather do that than to get, you know, a ton of chemicals pumped into my body, which, like I said, has left me with other consequences that I'm, you know, constantly dealing with.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been through a lot with health conditions and with having trouble finding the right treatments for that and coping strategies for that. So I'm really glad that you could find it here in Colorado to be more helpful for you.
Yeah, even the weather here being more dry is a lot more significant for my skin than being in a humid environment.
With all of that, I mean, how long have you been, how many years would you say you've been vegan then?
I would say about a solid year.
Nice.
And before that, I was pescatarian. So it was only seafood, no mammal products. So yeah.
Yeah. So then how did the idea of Pesky start?
It kind of started because I went, like I said, I've been to culinary school. and got my degree. And then we were starting our, you know, transition. And one of the hardest things to find is chicken wing, you know, vegan chicken.
Yeah.
And we went to a restaurant out here. I don't know if I should say the name, but we went to a restaurant out here and tried their vegan wings, and it just didn't do it for me. So I started researching, and I found a product in store that I could actually just go from that right to, you know, the battering it and frying it, and it just still wasn't doing it for me. So I started researching recipes, and a year and a half later, we finally got a solid recipe that tasted how we wanted it to taste. And I was like, why not start an Instagram and see what happens? And then within a couple months, we scheduled a pop-up with Brennan at Alternation, and now we're here.
That's so awesome. I mean, it's called a pop-up, but you literally, you all popped up, and the community was like, what? Oh, yes, we have to try this.
Yeah.
I know that, like, you brought so much excitement to the Denver community, because there are other vegan chicken competitors out there, as you know, like ones that ship nationwide, etc. But those can add up on the wallet, and, you know, sometimes they're backordered for months. And so yeah, to have somebody in the area who was providing this, like, your first turnout, why don't I let you say what happened with the first pop-up? Because, like, I know, because I went.
Oh, man.
But I didn't, I unfortunately didn't get to walk away with any chicken, but how was that on your end?
First off, a learning experience. And second, quite crazy. It was crazy. We were sold out within like an hour. Really not even an hour. It was more like 30 minutes. Like, we started getting
That's
orders.
Insane.
And I was like, okay, please don't bring me anything else, because we don't have any more. Like, we can't fulfill these orders. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even, like, we brought fries and everything to serve. I couldn't even serve the fries because it was, like, taking too much time to get, you know, products out. So I was just like, okay, no fries, just wings and strips. And that was all we could serve. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's insane. The demand for that. I mean, I know the first one, there weren't reservations or RSVPs or anything, because this was all pre-COVID. This was back in January of this year, for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, it was just first come, first serve type of thing. And
because I think the idea wasn't it that, you know, nobody knew how it would go over, so it was kind of like, well, let's just have it be a walk-in.
Yeah, let's situation. Just see what's going to happen. And it happened.
Yeah. I know, yeah, a few people that I'm friends with, that I saw them and they had wings, and I was like, oh, I can't wait. And we walked in, and I think we only stood in line for like 10 minutes, and the line wasn't able to move because, like, everybody was ordering. And I mean, I saw a few other people there that were just like so elated, so excited. I mean, it was a great celebration, even though not everybody was able to get served. So, like, I'm sure you heard that, but I hope you do know that people were still just like so excited that even though it sold out, they were like, well, I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, a lot of people did tell us that. Like, for me, I'm one of those people, like, I don't like not being able to serve everybody. Like, there's been times where we've had pop-ups later down the line where people still came and we were sold out, and I'm like, look, if you send me a message, you know, on Instagram, next pop-up, you get a free meal. Because I hate not being able, you know, to please everybody.
That's so generous. Yeah. And that must be wild. I mean, did you expect, because my next question is kind of like, what was your process for starting out as a pop-up? And then kind of like, did you expect such a turnout? Did you expect that there was such a demand for this?
I honestly didn't have any expectations, because I had put my culinary dreams on like the back burner for so long that I was just like, you know what, whatever happens, happens. So it happened, and I was just like, now what? Now what are we supposed to do next? You know, so I really didn't have any expectations.
Yeah, you were just filling a gap that you knew needed to be filled for yourself as a vegan.
Yeah, and more than anything, I just wanted to see what would happen, like what, you know, people would think of my, you know, cooking, because for years it's just been friends and family, like, you should do this, you should write your cookbook, you should do this. And I'm just like, yeah, but this, this, and this, or, you know, come up with some kind of excuse. And when I finally did it, it was kind of like, I should have listened to people a long time ago kind of thing.
Like, you found out that, like, oh, yeah, this could have happened earlier or something. But it sounds like it all happened when you were ready, when the time was right and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, as I've grown, I've learned that everything happens for a reason. You know, I look back and I'm like, oh, that's why I did that 2-3 years ago. Oh, that's why I did that 10 years ago. You know, even little things now looking back, I'm like, that's why I experienced it to get me here.
And like, with that being said, how has COVID-19 impacted business for you guys?
It's impacted us, but not in a bad way. Conveniently, we managed to get into, you know, the spacing and the licensing and everything we needed to ship nationwide right before everything shut down. So we were able to, you know, promote our nationwide shipping like within a week of everything shutting down. So it was kind of beneficial because people weren't able to go anywhere, but now they could order our, you know, wings online and just have it shipped right, you know, to your door.
Yeah. And I remember you did a little bit of a poll pretty much right when COVID was happening at the beginning of like, how comfortable do you all feel coming to a pickup location? Would you rather we ship to you or deliver to you? And then the next thing I knew, yeah, you were able to ship, and it started in Denver, and then you expanded to the nation, right?
Well, as soon as we opened shipping, we were immediately shipping nationwide.
Cool. And I know that I was so excited to order some myself. So good. You guys are so amazing. I mean, like, how, you said you did like these tests and trials, you know, and it took you about a year and a half, right? I mean, that it takes a long time to perfect something. You also have a whole line of sauces. Did that take as long to perfect, or is that something you knew you had kind of a handle on easier?
Yeah, sauces for me have been a passion since I can't even put an age. That's how long it's been. I've always loved sauces, and I mean chicken wings. Before I went vegan, I was a regular every Wednesday at Buffalo Wild Wings, like clockwork. You know, that's why I was so passionate about Wing Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because that was my thing, you know. But sauces, no, that was something, like, I literally still create sauce recipes that for sauces that we know we're not going to release until months, you know, later, but they come so naturally to me. Sauces are actually something that they're natural to me.
Yeah, and I can vouch that, like, each of your sauces is very different. Like, I guess I've only had maybe, like, 4 of them, and I know that you come out with spins on different ones and everything, but, yeah, they all have such a unique taste to them that, yeah, it's really impressive. I mean, I remember sharing the wings at home that we ordered with my partner, and he was like, oh, my God, these wings are so amazing, and then we tried the sauces, like, we dipped in different sauces, and he was like, oh my God, the sauces are just as amazing as the wings are. So yeah, we're just like fanning over you over here. So,
oh, thank you. I can definitely say the sauces for me are even a bigger deal than the wings.
Sure.
Because I mean, I try to slow cook them so that all the flavors are brought out. And like you said, each one is different because I wanted to bring something that vegans don't really have. Like, when you go on the shelf, buffalo sauces aren't vegan. Honey mustard is not vegan.
Right.
To be honest, I really don't know why they put egg in honey mustard that's commercial. Being a chef, I don't know why they do that. Like, it's weird to me because honey mustard is literally honey and mustard. So
right. I know. And it's not like it helps it preserve. If anything, it's kind of disgusting that something with egg is sitting that long on the shelf.
Yeah, I don't really understand. Even barbecue sauces aren't always vegan because Worcestershire has anchovies.
Yep.
So, you know, little things like that, and a lot of people don't realize that a lot of their barbecue sauces aren't vegan.
Yeah.
I really wanted to fulfill that gap.
And it's cool because they're very generous sized jars of sauce. So like when we ran out of wings, like if we got food from somewhere else or if we made cauliflower wings or something, we had all this extra sauce that we were like, oh, we already have sauce. This is perfect. So
yeah.
If anyone listening is ever deterred from like, oh, I don't know if I need that much sauce, like just get it. It's so good. It's so worth it. And it's good for so many different things too.
Yeah, it goes well with a lot of different things. I know one of our followers, I think it's plant-based groovy, if I'm right. She always posts and she drizzles the, I think, maple buffalo on her pizza.
Yes.
And I mean, we've done that too with the garlic buffalo. We've used the garlic buffalo just as a complete pizza base for like a vegan chicken buffalo pizza. Yeah. So there's definitely multiple, you know, ways to utilize the sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That southern sauce you have is so, it's the honey mustard mimicking one, right?
The South Carolina barbecue.
That's the one. South Carolina barbecue. Oh my God. Yeah. That blew my mind. Cause like, you know, you can find unique sauces that taste spicy or tangy or garlicky, but like yours are still like totally outstanding compared to those two. But South Carolina barbecue. I was just like, I feel like I'm sitting on a picnic bench outside a real barbecue somewhere, you know, in Kansas or Missouri or South Carolina. And like, yeah, it really hits the spot. It's awesome.
That's probably our number one sauce, actually. A lot of people love that one and the garlic buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and garlic buffalo was sold out the first time I wanted to try it. And I was like, dang it. I was like, we got to get on this faster every time they restock because you guys are selling out of so many good things. Yeah, but everything's good. And I mean, it sounds like you consider yourself more of a chef and like a, you know, recipe creator, but you are the owner. How does it feel? I mean, do you see yourself as like, you know, vegan business owner, or what were some struggles coming into that identity?
That's kind of a hard one to answer. Growing up the way I grew up, it's always been hard to identify. So once I finally, in my adult life, identified with just being and who I am, it's kind of just like falling into place with any other role. It just happened, I guess. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I think that's what makes like true success happen though for a lot of people, is to not go into it with a label and to go into it for the right reasons or with the concept of something that you know is needed or would be appreciated, or that you just say like, I can't not do this.
Yeah, because I mean, I've tried different businesses and, you know, things to start. Like, I was a personal trainer, and I mean, I have a bartending certification, and I have a generalized associate's degree. Like, I have multiple accolades and, you know, tried multiple things. But with this was the one thing that really boomed. I believe it's because it is my true passion. I didn't come into this, like I said, expecting anything. I came into it just having fun and doing what I love.
That's awesome. You're transitioning from pop-up to brick and mortar soon, and you have a GoFundMe all set up for that, and that's super exciting. What made you decide so quickly, like, this is really where we want to be? That was always the goal, right?
Yeah, from the jump, after our first pop-up, I spoke it. I said, I want to be in a brick and mortar. If we're going to do it all the way. I've always wanted a solid foundation, you know, for it. So I guess it was just, let's just go for it and, you know, put up a GoFundMe and start looking for places. And plus, being in Denver, even before we moved, I actually read an article about living here and it being like one of the top 10 places to start a business.
Yep.
And even this morning, I was driving around just like looking at different locations that were available. And it's just like living in multiple places and then coming here, I have never seen so many different options when it comes to restaurants and clothing boutiques and different things. Like, there's so many restaurants that are, you can consider a mom and pop because there's only, you know, one location, mm-hmm. that are booming. You know, and I've never seen anything like that. Like, growing up in Arkansas, I mean, you have Chili's and Texas Roadhouse. And then we had like a catfish spot that is now out of business, you know. So it's like you don't see that. But here, you see it, and it's like, it's really motivational, and it really pushes me to keep going, because I'm like, if they can, I know I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, I've read that article too, or a version of it, where even for female entrepreneurs, it's a top spot to be living and to start a business. So definitely, Pesky's definitely in the right place, I feel, for that.
Yeah.
So since you're moving towards a brick and mortar, it's probably not really in the works to, like, supply to other restaurants your product, is it?
Actually, it is. That's one of the top things we're doing right now, is trying to reach out to restaurant locations to be, you know, featured on their menu, and even have our sauces in stores, which, you know, we're supposed to be in Nooch here pretty soon.
Awesome.
As far as our sauces. Because I really want to reach non-vegans as well as vegans. Vegans, they know they can be vegan. You know, you and I know that we can go vegan and be just fine and satisfy all of our cravings.
Yeah.
You know, we know that. Non-vegans don't. So by being able to get in front of non-vegans in, you know, non-vegan restaurants, it's showing them that it's okay to be able to switch to vegan. It's showing them that, hey, I can do this, because there are options out there for me to, you know, fulfill my cravings or whatever. So yeah, it is still on the table.
That's awesome. Because I wondered about that. I was like, oh, you know, a lot of people who have these great products, like, sometimes they try to just expand with that as well. And you all have wings, you have your Vicken strips, which are like chicken strips, you have like the big mm-hmm. sandwich patties, your line of sauces, and then do you have any other things that I'm missing or that are in the works?
Yes, there's always something in the works with me. But I mean, we definitely, like, when you come to our pop-ups, I don't know if you were able to ever get any of our Pesky fries. But we do have, like, a certain seasoning we put. We were doing waffle fries.
Oh, okay.
But I believe we're going to switch to just a standard fry, which, I mean, isn't that big of a deal. But the seasoning we put on it, our Pesky seasoning. So that's something, you know, we do. I'm definitely considering putting that on the website. And then our ribs, I've had some people taste them before and they're like, you need to promote this. But yeah, our ribs will, you know, probably pop up soon at a pop-up. And then of course our sides, you know, all things Southern, collard greens, you know, macaroni and cheese,
mm-hmm.
sweet potatoes. I mean, I could keep going. Red beans and rice, which have been featured, you know, before. We have a Cajun queso.
Whoa.
That's really good. Yeah.
That's awesome. So
there's definitely always something in the works. And plus, with us searching for a brick and mortar, we will have a fuller menu once, you know, we get it more established.
Right. And the more I realize, yeah, that you're explaining, I'm like, well, duh, they're about to open a brick and mortar. Of course, they've got sides and other options up their sleeves. And yeah, I think I've had a few of those sides before. I think I've had the collard greens and I've had the mac and cheese and the coleslaw. Yeah. And oh my gosh. Yeah. Phenomenal. And you're looking into having a full bar as well, is what your GoFundMe says, right?
Yes, we are. If we can find a location that's, you know, of course, affordable and everything. Absolutely. And then if not, hopes for second location, you know, because it's not just a one and done dream. So
yeah. Are you picky about location in Denver?
Yes.
Like in a particular neighborhood?
It's not, I'm definitely not to the point where it's like, oh, it needs to be in the Rhino District strictly, or it needs to be down Broadway. No, but there are certain, you know, different areas that we are looking into that, you know, are significant maybe within the art community or within the vegan community or near like the Rocky Stadium. You know, we've looked in different locations, you know, to weigh out all the options.
Cool. So for helping with that, what is the biggest thing we can do? Just donate directly?
Yeah, definitely donate through our GoFundMe. And we're actually about to launch some merch to where all profits will go directly to our GoFundMe.
Perfect.
So, you know, people will have the opportunity to get something cool while still donating, you know, to our fund.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about your team and who's involved behind the scenes with Pesky Kitchen?
Oh, absolutely, because it's literally me and my husband. So we'll definitely have people, you know, help out from time to time with our pop-ups, but it's me and Chef Michael, because I'm like, he's been there obviously since it was, you know, an inkling of an idea, and since we were eating rocks sometimes, you know, with some of the failed recipes, we've eaten air, it's like we've bitten into it and it's like, okay, it's just sponge in here. So yeah, so definitely my husband, he's number one team member, I would say.
Awesome. Your pop-ups have been at Alternation Brewing a few times, which, if you're not from Denver, is a local brewery that is super collaborative with a lot of vegan businesses, especially pop-up restaurant businesses that need a place or a kitchen or a space to share their products. Are there other locations that you've done pop-ups or that you are looking at for pop-ups before you land on the brick and mortar?
Yeah, we've done a pop-up at Epic Brewing down in the Rhino District, which we're working with them now to see about a safe pop-up and Alternation for another one. And then our commercial kitchen space that we work out of, that is actually where our pop-up this weekend will be, and we've had a pickup pop-up there before. So yeah, and it's not that I'm not looking for other locations, I just don't have any right now in the works, but we're definitely open to doing more pop-ups, you know, because we want everybody to experience us, you know, so that they're like, yeah, we definitely need this, you know, permanently in Denver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned Nooch Vegan Market will carry your products pretty soon, which is the vegan market in Denver. And then are there other places that we might be able to catch you on the shelf of, or is that still in the works too?
Still in the works. We do have one other location. It's a small liquor store by where we live. They tasted our Maple Buffalo, and they were like, we need this on the shelf as soon as you can. So
yeah.
Them. And other than that, I haven't reached out anywhere, but I definitely will be soon, because now that we've, you know, done our rebranding with our new labels and we have barcodes now, so we're definitely going to be looking at more locations.
Do you have anything else that you want to share right now about your goals or what's going on behind the scenes? You can't disclose everything too, I understand that.
Oh yeah. No, I can't think of anything, but I'm like, I guess as far as like our sauces, because we definitely have over 30 something sauces and recipes. They're just not released. But for those who are listening that are questioning about that, because we've actually got a lot of questions like, okay, so when is this one going to be released? Mm-hmm. I don't have definite dates, but all of our sauces, you know, are in the works to continuously, you know, be released.
Awesome. You guys are always doing something, and you'll always pop up with something exciting or something that's coming out soon. And I think that little spill of the brick and mortar GoFundMe happening, I mean, everyone's so excited about it, and is hopefully that's gaining a lot of traction since you've released that's what your plan is.
Yeah, it's definitely gotten a pretty good turnout so far, so that's exciting. And once we're off of Instagram lockdown, we'll definitely be posting more there. So,
are you guys not, your account is locked or something? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's really weird. We can't like or post, but I mean, we can send messages and post on our story. I don't know. It's weird. We've been sending like 10 messages a day. Like, can you please open our account? We were supposed to be off today, but it's still locked. And I'm just like, come on. We got to pop up Saturday.
Oh my God. How long has that been going on? Like a week or?
Yeah, it's been a week now.
Oh my God. Ugh, that's really frustrating.
Yeah, we've actually had a couple of people message us like the same thing, you know, happened to me before for a week. And one of our followers actually works for Instagram and Facebook and has been doing everything he can, you know, to see what the issue is, and even sent over like a screenshot of the message, you know, we keep receiving. So hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to post.
Hopefully midnight tonight, that curse is lifted.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, speaking of your Instagram, you guys have rebranded. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we rebranded kind of everything because it was like we initially started, it was kind of like a rush for time, like hurry up and put something together, you know, put a logo together, do whatever, you know, we can. And that's what I did because I do all of our graphics. So after doing more research and, you know, really getting things buckled down, I figured maybe we should go ahead and, you know, reach out for like commercial licensing and start doing things that's solely Pesky, you know, so when people see it, it's like, oh, that's Pesky Kitchen, not, oh, I think I've seen that before, or, you know. So we got our commercial license, like, for the mouth, and I created this paint splatter, our new one, myself, and went from there so that in the future nobody could ever come back and be like, hey, you took our stuff.
Yeah.
So I figured it was the best thing to do, and it really, the new brand really expresses, you know, who we are and what we're about, and it's just about having fun and being yourself and, you know, being accepting of everything, all colors, and being bright, because that's how I've always been, bubbly and, you know, the class clown and attention. So I figured it was best that our logo and brand did the same thing.
That's so fun. And you guys can't see it right now, but Ryan's background is the paint splatter, and it's just this bright neon just like background, and it's super fun. So that's awesome. I didn't know you did all your own graphics yourself. I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners do these days, but yeah, that's a very unique take, and it's all encompassing too. I like the message you represent with that.
Yeah. And I mean, I was actually in IT in the military, so I'm like, I should use some of these skills for something.
Yeah. How long ago were you in the Navy?
Oh, it seems like forever now. I got out in 2011.
Yeah. Yeah. That time I feel like doesn't feel that long ago. And what got you to decide that that was a path you wanted to take?
The military?
Mm-hmm.
I always laugh at that question because it was really my ticket out of Arkansas for free.
Yeah.
Because I was an honor graduate. I scored really high on my ACT, SAT. I got offered a full ride plus a stipend to live off campus at a school in Arkansas. But I refused to stay in Arkansas. So I chose the Navy because that was the one branch that didn't have a base in Arkansas. Outside of Coast Guard, of course.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my full decision. It wasn't to pay for school or anything other than to get out of Arkansas.
Yeah. I get that, though. I get that. Like, some people want to stay around where they're born, and other people are like, I need to be somewhere else, or I need to explore while I'm young.
Yeah. It's just, I knew there was a big world out there and so much more. It's just, even just going to boot camp, I experienced a world I had never even knew existed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that even that alone was a big deal. And then from there, going to Florida and then Spain, I was blown away by all the things I didn't know existed.
Wow. How long were you in Spain?
A year and a half.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel like that was something, I don't know what you're allowed to say or not, but do you feel like that was something that you were like, yeah, that was definitely what I needed to do? Like, that was, because I feel like I don't know, this might be a stereotype, but for a lot of vegans, like, some of them don't typically think of going into the military. I don't know if that's like a certain mindset or a certain just like culture that we've thought we've built around veganism, but I am genuinely open-minded about it and curious, when you look back on it, how that makes you feel
now? I guess I can honestly say, like I said before, everything happens for a reason, you know? And there were things that I experienced in the military that, had I not experienced, I wouldn't be where I am today. I think everybody has, you know, their decision is different. And I would still make the same decision again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would tell anybody, you know, who is even considering it to, you know, for sure weigh out all your options, because I definitely weighed out all of my options, and to just know it's not a permanent thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not forced into it for life, you know, and it does provide different opportunities, but I definitely say weigh out all of your options, because people don't realize there is an infinite amount of options outside of just going to college or just going to the military. So that would be my biggest thing, is just weigh it out, because I know I wouldn't change my decision.
Yeah, that's good advice. As far as like going back to veganism, were you ever met with any like resistance going vegan? Like, do you feel like your husband was pretty, obviously he's very supportive, but do you feel like he wants to go vegan, or is he vegan? Does anyone in your family also live a vegan lifestyle?
He does, yes, but there wasn't any opposition actually at all. Probably because even from when we dated, I always cooked, and I always, you know, came up with different recipes, you know, even before going vegan. So with us going vegan, it wasn't much to, you know, go against, because I found, you know, I could change recipes pretty easy and still make veganism fun and flavorful for us.
Yeah.
But as far as the rest of the family goes, it is just us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That can be hard sometimes. There's always that curveball, I feel like, that they feel like they've been thrown by you choosing a vegan lifestyle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because most of our family, well, pretty much all of our family, they're meat eaters. I grew up eating meat. You know, I grew up in the country, so we definitely ate meat and pork, and I can remember pigs running around, you know, right in front of us. So, yeah, they're definitely meat eaters.
Yeah, yeah. Has your family gotten to try your vegan chicken product, and how do they feel about it?
Yeah, they have. Well, at least, like, my parents and my sister and a couple, like, my aunt and, of course, my in-laws, they've tried it as well. And, I mean, everybody that's tried it is, you know, impressed and shocked, you know, that it tastes so much like chicken. Even my dad, who refuses to ever stop eating meat, he's like, if, you know, nobody told me, I would have assumed it was chicken.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they love it.
Awesome.
Because, I mean, I guess my biggest thing and what I'm really passionate about, even beyond veganism, is, you know, growing the community, especially like my community, the Black community. It's something that's not talked about, it's something that's diminished, you know, and that's something that to me is a big deal. And even for, you know, my husband, we talk about it all the time, how we just want to educate others on how to open a business, you know. Mm-hmm. So my biggest thing is to anybody and everybody, not just the Black community, the minorities, Black, white, it doesn't matter. If you have a dream, a passion, go for it. Like, don't sit back and let somebody else do it.
Yeah.
Because I've done that with a lot of ideas that I've had, from like app ideas to anything, you know, drinks, anything, like where I've come up with an idea, wrote it down and never went back to it because I assumed I couldn't do it. And then like a year later, I look on Indeed and that exact same idea I had is now hiring for somebody. So, you know, I definitely say go for it and just don't stop.
Yeah. Do you have anyone that you looked to beforehand as a mentor or as an inspiration for starting a business?
I wouldn't say like there's one particular person, no, because I'm such an eclectic person that I get a lot of motivation and inspiration and knowledge from many different sources, mm-hmm. because I don't believe that one source is a one-all be-all. Mm-hmm. So I take my time, you know, and research and listen and learn more than anything. So no, there's definitely not, you know, a single person, because I've listened to books from people from multiple different backgrounds, from Deepak Chopra to, what's her name? Rachel Hollis, I think her name is. She wrote the book Girl Stop Apologizing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Girl Wash Your Face. So, like, I've listened to her. I've listened to Deepak. I've started listening to, like, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. You know, so I try to listen to people from different backgrounds, because not everybody's story is the same. My story isn't your story. Your story isn't his story, you know? So yeah. I personally feel that it's best to look at multiple sources of people who have succeeded in business, so that I'm like, okay, this worked for her, but it didn't work for him. Or, you know, that worked for him, but it didn't work for her. So let me try to find my place in the middle. Kind of like what I do with recipes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I try to just look to multiple sources, you know, and go off of my experiences and then go from there.
Well, and speaking of recipes, I know you can't give everything away, but who can eat Pesky Kitchen chicken? Do you have like soy in it, or you obviously don't have dairy in it?
Yeah, of course, it's 100%, you know, plant-based. It is a seitan base. Vital Wheat Gluten is the main ingredient, but soy is not an ingredient in it. We have fried in soybean oil and have actually had people who have soy allergies eat it and had no problems.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, but no, there's in the actual mixture, no soy whatsoever.
Nice, mm-hmm. Nice.
Because that was something I noticed. For some people, it's a big deal. Others, it's not. Mm-hmm. Something my husband mentioned to me is a gluten-free option.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's something we're working on, because I want, like I said, I want everybody to be able to experience it and know that, you know, you can go vegan even with having a gluten allergy, which I feel like they're probably, veganism is probably the most tough on gluten, you know, gluten-free.
Yeah.
The gluten-free population, because most vegan meats have gluten. So yeah, but that's definitely in my to-do list.
Cool. What does your maybe this will be like the last question, but what does your typical day look like as the founder and owner and head chef of Pesky Kitchen? I'm sure it's not the same day to day, but
yeah,
by your reaction it sounds like it might be a little crazy.
Every day is definitely different. Like today I was up at like 6 a.m. in the car getting coffee and riding around to look at locations before traffic got heavy and before my 5-year-old got up. So
yeah.
And then after that, like, I've been working on posts and responding to emails and planning and creating. And like yesterday it was Monday was shipment day, so we had over 20 boxes we had to send. So most Mondays are just making sure all orders are ready to ship by the evening. Yeah, every day is different. It depends. Yeah. One day I may be on the phone trying to talk to a supplier. The next day I'm stuck to the computer doing research for funding or how to get into a particular retailer. So every day is definitely, definitely different. And then, like I said, with having a 5-year-old, it's even more crazy.
Yeah. Here. I can't imagine. I have a niece and 2 nephews, and they're 7, 5, and 5. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun age, but wow, they're like really coming into themselves and they are excited about the world.
So. Oh, are they ever? Oh.
But yeah, is everything else going well amid COVID and like living indoors most of the time right now? I mean, You sound like you're busy enough, which I think helps a lot of creatives at this time.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been a homebody for quite some time anyways, so it really didn't affect us. Like, the only thing it changed was that we weren't doing pop-ups anymore. That was pretty much it. And that our little one was at, you know, doing school at home, but now it's, you know, summer vacation, so it's mm-hmm. what we were doing last year, just added work, you know, just on the computer or filling orders.
Do you ever take a day where you're like, we're not gonna touch on most of this, or is that like a struggle?
That is probably the number one struggle right now, because there's been days where I've woken up and I'm like, I'm not gonna do anything, and then like an hour later I'm doing something. So, and it's like, it's because I really think it's because I'll start to think of something and like, oh, I need to do this. And I'm one of those people, like, if I don't do it, then it may or may not get done. So
yeah.
So no, there's definitely not a day that we don't do anything.
Yeah. And I'm sure with Instagram having you all locked up like that, it's just even harder to be like, oh, I need to post about this, or I should say this, and then not being able to. Like, you would think in some light, maybe that's a blessing, but I feel like that would just be, yeah, so incredibly frustrating. So
yeah,
I hope that gets lifted.
It's really frustrating, because mainly because I didn't realize how big Facebook was till like 2 months ago, because and the only reason I created a Facebook is because Instagram makes you know, when you get a business account.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't had a Facebook since high school, really. So now it's kind of forced us to really, you know, engage more and build our Facebook audience more than anything. So it's been bittersweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Facebook is like, I don't know, people seem to think that Instagram and Facebook and just social media in general, from, I think, a consumer perspective, it seems like, oh, that just kind of, it takes care of itself, or somebody's got a team for that, or, oh, you can just post the same thing twice, or like, and sometimes you can, sometimes that's true, but like, sometimes those audiences and followings are so different and they need different things that like, it's like a totally separate entity. It
really can be. Like, that's a job just in itself. Keeping up with social media alone is like, I have to set aside at least 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
and even then, like, that time frame is like so flexible, I feel like, because you could get lost doing a couple projects or saying like, okay, I'm gonna like stock up on what I'm gonna post this week, but then I feel like it's just so hard to be on top of so many things, like, and I can't imagine having a tangible product like you do on top of that, and having to fulfill those orders and everything that you do and create and recipe test and all of that. Like,
yeah,
truly a one-woman wonder, with of course the support of your wonderful husband. But yeah, that's a lot of work. You do so much.
Yeah, and I feel like, and that's like one of the biggest things as far as like getting a brick and mortar, because I know a lot of people get frustrated, you know, ordering from us, but with us, you know, having to work out of a commercial kitchen space, it's like, I don't want to be in there every single day, you know, all day, when other people have to utilize the space.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, if I can at least process over the weekend and get them out first thing Monday, you know, that's the best bet. But, you know, having a brick and mortar, we can get things out of there every single day.
Yeah. And you can really do those, you can really spend that time in the beginning, you know, really stocking up on your product, and then maybe take a little bit of a break from that, at least, or
something.
Yeah,
definitely something we talked about and look forward to, you know, being able to knock out 1,000 wings in a day, you know, and not have to worry about doing it again for at least a week, you know. So
yeah,
definitely something excited about.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's excited for you in the Denver community. And if you're not in the Denver community, you can still order Pesky Chicken directly from the website.
Yeah, just peskykitchen.com. And there is, that's something people get confused about too. We do include a C, so it is P-E-S-C-K-Y as opposed to the normal, you know, pesky spelling.
Yes.
So, and which is why we did it, so that we could be a little pesky to people.
Yeah. And, like, tell me about the name. You just thought that that would be a fun name to go with the fun vibe with everything.
Yeah, because, like I said, we were pescatarian for a while, and I was like, that's even pesky in itself. And after thinking about it, I'm like, you know, vegans get this rap, like, you know, they're kind of, like I said, kind of pesky, like, I've heard people, like, get frustrated with others in restaurants, like, oh, so no cheese, no mayo, you know, like, going down this list. And I'm like, that's a little pesky to some people, so why not be pesky to everybody?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so clever. Yeah, I love it. I love all of it. Your whole brand, your whole vibe, your whole product line, and I'm so excited to see what else comes of this for you all.
Yeah, thank you so much. I was super excited, you know, when you emailed me. I'm like, absolutely. Like, I remember, you know, seeing your name several times order, and I'm like, psh, girl, you're a family. Of course I'm gonna support.
Well, thank you. Yeah. We know each other through, you know, you being Pesky Kitchen, and I'm on Uprooted Foodie, but the Vegan Chub Club, I mean, this community needs to hear about you too. So this is something that you all don't want to sleep on. Thank you so much for making the time in your crazy schedule to come talk with everyone in this community too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Anytime you want to talk, I'm here, girl.
Well, you're awesome, Ryan. Thank you again. Yeah, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, just stay tuned into our stories for now on Instagram. Yeah, because we are planning a pop-up for the weekend of the 19th. All the same weekend, Juneteenth and Father's Day. Yeah.
So this is, like, technically the Juneteenth episode. So that's perfect as far as, like,
yeah.
Promoting your Juneteenth pop-up. So awesome. Everybody, if you're in Denver, go check that out because sounds fun.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be a soul food menu. So probably definitely some collard greens and maybe macaroni.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm curious, too. We don't have to add this in the episode, but you took a poll on collard greens versus green beans.
Yeah, it was for the Juneteenth pop-up, actually.
Did collard greens win then?
Yes, it did. By a landslide.
Yeah, I voted for collard greens.
Yeah, people actually were even individually messaging me, like, yes, collard greens for sure. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think I said, like, they're more savory usually, or they, like, hold more flavor.
Yeah.
So
they do. They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Yeah, greens are definitely something that take me back. I grew up picking turnip greens, actually, which is why I don't eat turnip greens.
That'll do it.
And refuse to feature them on the menu because I actually picked them growing up in the country. So
she's haunted by it. No.
Yeah, no, I am.
Well, it sounds like a good menu. So yeah, get out for Juneteenth. Yeah, definitely celebrate Juneteenth. Take the day off work if you can. And yeah, celebrate among what all is happening right now in this uproarious movement. So definitely,
yeah,
definitely a good excuse to get out for Pesky Kitchen, among many other reasons. Well, I think that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you again, Ryan, and we'll say bye to everybody for now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, and I hope everybody has a good day.
And we'll talk to you all in the Chub Club very soon. Bye.
The conversation doesn't have to end here, my chubby friends. Hungry for more? Celebrate Juneteenth with Pesky Kitchen at Alternation Brewing Company this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Visit peskykitchen.com for more details and follow them on Facebook or Instagram at pesky.kitchen. You can also order Pesky's vegan chicken from the comfort of your own home in Denver and beyond. Follow the podcast at Vegan Chub Club on Twitter, at The Vegan Chub Club on Facebook and Instagram, and be sure to join the Facebook group. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.